The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's December the 3rd, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, House Democrats say they've reached agreement on the energy bill. The farm bill remains stalled on the Hill. And Verisun acquires U.S. Bioenergy Corporation. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in this half hour, and then we'll stay with the biofuels theme for the day. I'll tell you about some work being done here on campus that increases the efficiency of existing dry grind ethanol plants. Hey, and don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Monday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby December wheat down 12 cents at $8.55 for the day. March contract at 876 and three quarters, down 8 and three quarters. And the May futures at 872, 8.5 lower. July futures were down a nickel at $7.57. December corn futures, 386, a penny and a half higher. The March contract up 2 cents at 403 and a half. And the May futures at $4.14, up 1 for the day. July contract, 423, up 2. September's unchanged at 426 and a half. And December contract, a penny higher at 431 and a half. Next year's March, up a penny and a half at 437 and a half. December oat futures down 8.5 cents at 261. January soybean futures, $10.78 and three quarters, down a penny and a quarter for the day. March contract at 1097 and a half unchanged. In the May futures, up a quarter at 1106 and a quarter. July contract 1108 and three quarters, up 1 3/4. September futures at 1049, down 1. And November futures at 1015 and a half in the bean pit, 4 3/4 higher. December bean meal at 290.10, up $1.80. December bean oil at 45.42, down 22. At the Mercantile Exchange from the CME Group, December live cattle 37 and a half cents higher at 94.22 and a half. February at 60 cents higher, finished at 96.37 and a half. Feeder cattle January contract 108 and a nickel, up 35. March contract up 50 at 108.80. And December lean hog futures at 54.70, finished 20 cents lower on the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On the line with us on Monday afternoons, usually, is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. He's away this afternoon. If luck has it, we'll have Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities with us today. Good afternoon to you, Pete. Oh, Pete has got me on hold at the moment. What do you know? Well, there's what you can listen to if you happen to get to Pete. We'll talk to Pete in just a few minutes, or we'll fill in one of the way or the other in just a few minutes. Let's check and see who we can find out there that's available to talk to us this afternoon. Looks like nobody's available at the moment. I'll tell you what, we'll go on with the show. We'll check in with Dave Dickey in a moment with Get the Ag News, and then we'll hear a little bit about ethanol, and we'll come back with the Andersons.
In agricultural news, House Democratic leaders say they have reached an agreement on the omnibus energy bill. House Democrats say they want to complete floor action on the measure by midweek so the Senate can take up the bill by Friday. Details are sketchy, but it appears House leadership is offering a measure that would increase corporate average fuel economy standards to 35 miles a gallon by 2020. The House compromise also calls for a renewable fuels standard of 36 billion gallons by 2022, matching what the Senate proposed in its original legislation. In the Senate, energy legislation still faces opposition by New Mexico's Pete Domenici, the ranking Republican on the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee. Domenici has been opposing CAFE standard changes. As for the farm bill, it appears that the Senate will not return to that stalled legislation until next week at the earliest. VeriSun Energy has acquired rival U.S. Bioenergy Corporation in a deal that will eventually create the nation's largest energy producer. The chairman of the newly formed company, Gorman Ullman, says a merger gives needed economies of scale.
Both companies have taken the view that this industry begs for scale, and scale drives synergies and efficiencies. And as we've looked at it, we've said, you know, if we put these companies together, we're going to be able to leverage the strength of U.S. Bio around operations and process technology and spread those over all the VeriSun assets. That creates a lift. We're also going to be able to take the transportation infrastructure and terminaling work that VeriSun has done and use that for all of the ethanol product.
The $700 million acquisition will give VeriSun ethanol production capacity of 1.64 billion gallons by the end of 2008, surpassing current top energy producer Archer Daniels Midland. Again, Gorman Ullman.
The plants that we have are also all new technology, common technology plants. So we will have the leading ethanol production, in fact, the leading biofuels production company globally, all with new technology.
The merger is expected to close during the first quarter of 2008. An arm of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association says it has signed a deal to enroll livestock producers in USDA's Premise program. The National Cattlemen's Foundation has set a goal to enroll more than 70,000 premises. European Union biodiesel companies say they will file a complaint with their European Commission trade office over subsidies to U.S. biodiesel exporters. EU biodiesel producers are upset over U.S. subsidies on biodiesel that allow exporters to move their product through the U.S. to gain extra subsidies before selling to Europe. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. It's at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all kinds of interesting things, including most of the daily ag programming. You can download it directly from the website as an MP3 file, or if you'd like, you can sign up to have it podcast. That means it's delivered directly to your computer. It's all at willag.org. While you're there, make sure you sign up for our absolutely free and really quite good marketing newsletter. It comes out each and every weekend. Just hit subscribe at willag.org. One more website you should visit, the FarmDoc website. There you'll find on the front page a link to the 2007 Illinois Farm Economic Summit. Dave Dickey will sit in this chair next week on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday because I'll host two of the three-day-long events for those economic summits. I'll be in Effingham with that team on December the 11th and Bloomington on the 12th. On the 13th, they'll make their way to Sycamore, but I'll stay in Bloomington for the Illinois Ag IT Summit. I'll tell you more about that later in the week, but let's stick with the Illinois Farm Economic Summit at the moment. It's a great day-long event. You ought to go to the FarmDoc website and sign up now, or at least take a look at the program. Daryl Good will be there. He'll have an outlook on crop and livestock prices. The team from upstairs in Mumford Hall will also cover revenue implications of the new farm bill, the influence of weather and technology on corn and soybean yields, the impact of ethanol on crop and livestock sectors, and the decisions that you'll be making about crop rotation and crop production. Also, they'll discuss farm lease trends and some strategies you might use, along with the profitability of the Illinois farm through the year 2010. It all happens at the Illinois Farm Economic Summit in Effingham next Tuesday, Bloomington on Wednesday, and then Sycamore on Thursday of next week. Visit the FarmDoc website for complete details. It's $50 if you sign up by December the 4th, that's tomorrow, or $55 if you decide to walk in at the door. It kicks off at 8 each day and runs until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Should be a really good program. I hope to see you there. Up next, we'll take a quick look at a process developed at the University of Illinois that could dramatically increase the economic and throughput efficiency of existing dry grind corn ethanol plants. Dry grind ethanol plants produce two, possibly three products at the moment: ethanol, DDGs, and maybe CO2. Vijay Singh thinks the plants can do better. He's an associate professor of agricultural and biological engineering at the University of Illinois.
DDGS lately has been selling for price lower than price of corn. That means 33% of corn, which becomes DDGS, goes through the plant, comes out the other end at a price lower than price of corn. That is no value addition in that co-product. So what we have done is, at University of Illinois, is we have developed technologies, and this work has been done in collaboration with USDA lab in Windmore, Pennsylvania, is that we have developed technologies that fractionate the kernel before it goes into the fermentation tank. So we are recovering products such as corn germ, corn fiber, up front, and corn germ and corn fiber do not ferment. They only take space in the fermentation vat.
The germ and fiber are high-value co-products.
By recovering germ and fiber up front, we get much higher value for these products, because if we lose the germ in DDGs, as it happens in a conventional dry grind ethanol plant, DDGs only sells for about 3 to 4 cents per pound. But if we recover germ up front, germ can sell anywhere from 11 to 15 cents per pound. From fiber, we can recover other value-added co-products.
Initial work with corn fiber oil suggests it is very similar to other products high in phytosterols. These products sell in U.S. grocery stores for $8 to $10 per pound. The Ovi process also recovers corn fiber gum prior to fermentation. So the number of co-products generated by a dry grind ethanol plant increases from 2 to 5 with the bolt-on fractionator. But that's not all.
Additional benefit of pulling these co-products out is that we also improve the fermentation efficiency of a dry grind ethanol plant. Since we have pulled these non-fermentables out, we can pack the fermenter with more fermentable substrate. That means we can increase the amount of corn that is being ground through the plant.
Those extra bushels increase the capacity of the plant, and on the backside, the concentration of ethanol coming out of the fermentation vat is increased too, up 2 to 4%. Singh says it takes less energy to dehydrate the final product. And in the end, the fractionation process decreases the amount of DDGs leaving the plant, but leaves each pound of that co-product with a higher protein content. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report, and so is Dan Zwicker this afternoon. He was out on the road, heard my troubles a bit earlier, and called in, suggested he might be able to fill in for Pete and for Kurt this afternoon. Thanks, Dan, for making the phone call. We appreciate it a lot.
You're welcome, Todd.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the marketplace. What's your feeling at this point as we head into the week?
Well, I thought the markets performed quite well here today. I mean, we ended kind of on a negative note there last week on soybeans being down 18 cents off of some, bearish chart action that we saw there on Thursday. Today, of course, a lot of the weekend market advisory farm shows were all full bearish on the soybeans this weekend. And then we begin to see the sell-off here early this morning. The market began to find some buy interest at its uptrend line off of the early October low, and we managed to come back and kind of close unchanged. So I thought the soybean market performed quite well and in pretty good position now to maybe resume the uptrend.
Resume the uptrend, but you have a target on the upside?
Well, I think, you know, technically what we've got to do is go up and pop out, I think, that Thursday's high, and mm-hmm. I can't tell you exactly where that's at. I think it's up there around like 11.07 or something like that on the January contract. So if we would pop that out, then that, you know, again, tees up that 11.50 area as the next target as soybeans, you know, have a tendency to move up and down 50-cent pieces, and in this case, it would be to the upside up around that 11.50. I think I was figuring before I left the office, if we did penetrate last Thursday's high point, that we would tee up a move to something like 11.56, I think, or something like that on the January contract.
Yeah, how likely do you think this is?
I guess as until the trend is broken to the downside, you have to say the odds favor that. Now, how likely? I don't know. I suppose I would say two chances out of three. That's about as good a guess as I think you can get in the commodity complex. But the way the market performed today, it bounced off of that 18-cent decline there on Friday. A lot of bearishness this morning and came back and closed unchanged. So I think the market's in pretty good shape to go on up through the top side on these beans.
Will beans be the leader or not?
I think beans still have to be the leader. My guess here is that beans have to go higher to get the acreage it needs in the U.S. And, of course, you know, we have the La Nina weather pattern in place in South America. Argentina is in desperate need of some rain. Weekend rain activity was not what it was forecast. Now, there's still rain in the forecast for the next week or so, but then it turns back more to a hot and dry pattern. So I think with the La Nina weather pattern in place in South America, which is dominantly calls for a dry pattern in southern Brazil and Argentina, I think it's going to be hard to break the soybeans to the downside until the trade gets more comfortable with their prospects.
Does that necessarily mean the corn has to follow through, and can wheat continue to fail in front of that prospect?
Well, the corn market's in good shape, too, technically. I mean, I think, Friday we came back and closed higher. We were sharply lower there. Friday morning came back and maybe only closed a penny or two higher. But that kind of suggested that the market wasn't going to roll over, that that we were at least going to hold a sideways pattern. Now, today we did manage closing higher. We were, I think, as much as 7 cents higher earlier in the session. We went up into that low 390s area, which has kind of been a resistance point. I consider that now kind of a triple top, and I think it's just a matter of time now that corn futures penetrate that 392 area and move on into the above the $4 level now. 2 weeks, we've got December futures expiring, and March futures is going to assume the lead contract. And I think today's action tells you that March futures is going to assume the lead futures contract above the 392 area, which I think spells well for the market continuing sideways to higher trend until we see the January crop report.
Above that by how much? Above by the dime we're there now, or
well, on the lead chart, you have the next point here. We got to probably go ahead and clear this 92 area. We were up to it today, and we fell back. But if we could decisively clear this 392 area, then we tee up a move to this like 409, 410 area as the next shot for the lead futures contract. And you can kind of look at March futures and see where it's trading at. So 410 is the objective. Then once you get into the 414, 415 area, then you begin to get into some chart gaps that were left on the July contract when corn made its high during June. So there is some resistance levels up there between 410 to 416 or so. But at least right at the moment where the corn market performed today, I think spells well that the market's in still pretty good shape. There's no guarantees anything. From a technical point of view, I would like to see some follow-through strength and a stronger close here tomorrow to kind of shore up today's positive chart action.
Why don't you go ahead and tell me about the wheat market to round us out for the afternoon?
Well, wheat market, of course, had a strong up day there on Friday, so we're kind of in a consolidation type mode, or it was last week. So I think the wheat market, you know, it snapped the downtrend it was in there on the December contract. So now I think we're kind of in a breather point of view, but I think cyclically the wheat market is also in position to go ahead and maybe climb higher through the month of December.
Would you be that seems contrary to what most people might think, I guess. Would you
well,
be
that's good, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Sometimes you like to be the contrarian. That's true. I suppose that's good. you don't want to be the one and only guy, or you don't want to be along with the pack if everybody's the opposite way around, I guess. So
no, I mean, the only thing that my observation watching the markets is there's a lot of people around that would like to see this market go down. I mean, the farmer, I think, would like to see it go down to make him feel better about his sales that he did at a lower level. I think market advisors would like to see it go down so their sale recommendations look better. So I think, you know, cash traders would probably like to see the thing go down to maybe scare the farmer into selling some inventory. So I think there's more people rooting for a down market than they are an up market, and the market has a tendency to go against the opposite of the majority.
Dan, thanks for filling in this afternoon. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. He joined us this afternoon on a Monday to take a look at the commodity markets. Called us from his cell phone when we were having just a bit of trouble getting hold of our regular analyst.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Time now to take a look at our cash grain market for a Monday afternoon. Wyatt Muse of the Andersons is with us. Wyatt, are you one of those cash traders that's looking for the market, hoping the market goes lower?
Oh, not necessarily hoping the market goes lower. Maybe looking for another uptick in rail basis so we can move some more of this inventory we just picked up off the ground.
Tell me about how much you've moved.
We have moved every last bit that was on the ground with the exception of less than 100,000 bushels. We're just down to the last little bit of the pile and waiting on that next train to come in so we can get it picked up. So over 4 million has been loaded out since the 1st of November.
Wow. Did you move it faster out than you put it in? Is that right?
Or is it about the same? About the same, though. Just about the same.
Wow. Man, that's a lot of corn to move pretty quickly.
We've been fortunate to have a pretty good railroad response, and as long as they keep making it here on time, we'll be able to keep turning the bushels.
Tell me about the basis levels.
Corn basis continues to improve. I've seen some amazing, I guess you call it boomerang comeback on the corn side. Bean basis remains fairly weak. I think that's a function of the high board price and the processor. A little bit sluggish to pay up for the beans when the farmer's selling into these rallies based on the flat price. Wheat basis is also pretty weak, same situation. The board prices are a lot higher than what the local mills are able to pay.
And what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn is $3.88, cash soybeans are $10.51, and July wheat 712.
Thanks much.
Absolutely.
That's Wyatt Muse. He's with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Joins us each and every Monday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market in 2 minutes. We'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. Time now for your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. The day ended early today for Paxton Buckley Lota High School and Middle School after ammunition was found, prompting an evacuation. Students were sent out of the building to Paxton City Building for parents to pick them up after the evacuation at mid-morning. All extracurricular activities at PBL have been called off for tonight. Administrators only say that someone found the ammunition at the high school, leading to the lockdown. Police are now investigating the incident, and they're asking anyone with information to call them or Crime Stoppers. The district says both schools will be searched tomorrow as students come back to class. 15th District Congressman Tim Johnson says he could not support a recent funding bill for the Iraq War that included a timetable for withdrawing troops. As he formally launched his reelection campaign today in Urbana, Johnson said setting artificial timelines is unrealistic, though he says he sees light at the end of the tunnel. Congress is reconvening this week for a short session before the holidays. Indiana's House Ways and Means Committee is holding hearings today on Governor Mitch Daniels' proposal to cut property taxes and increase the state sales tax. It's the first of a series of hearings on property tax reform plans. A Senate committee begins its hearings tomorrow. A Michigan family heading to Chicago for a weekend of shopping sued two railroad companies today, 3 days after they were injured in Friday's train accident on Chicago's South Side. John and Marcia Hamstra, their daughter-in-law, and their grandchildren are seeking damages from Amtrak and Norfolk Southern in a lawsuit filed in Cook County. The sum they're seeking hasn't been finalized. The two railroad spokesmen are declining to comment. Requests for Rose Bowl tickets are pouring into the University of Illinois athletic offices, both in person and online. A spokeswoman in the Division of Intercollegiate Athletics, Cassie Arner, says students were in line yesterday, even before Illinois learned it was going to the Rose Bowl to face Southern Cal. Students and other fans who have season tickets, as well as donors, can apply for Rose Bowl tickets. Students will be notified on Wednesday if they can get them. Others will find out next Monday. Illinois makes its first Rose Bowl appearance in 24 years on New Year's Day. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. Time now to take a look at what's been happening in the world of ag weather. And Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Boy, it was bright and beautiful out there for a while this afternoon, but man, was it cold overnight this morning when I got into the vehicle today. Will it stay that way?
Well, for the time being, it will over the next several days as Arctic air mass will remain in place. But as we go through the week, temperatures will be warming up. So after kind of maintaining this cold for two more days, with actually a little bit of snow across the northern Midwest tomorrow, a warming trend is on tap here. And certainly that looks to be the prevalent pattern here as we actually go through the middle portion of December. And overall, it looks like a warmer bias setting up across the nation's midsection.
And maybe you'd better recap the weekend weather. Pretty rough here in the Midwest, and then that moved to the northeast.
Yeah, exactly. We had a storm system here come out of the southwest and plains and really got its act together over the Midwest with southern areas getting widespread rain, but then getting into more frozen precip in the way of freezing rain, sleet, and snow up across the central and northern sections of the Midwest. Obviously, a pretty widespread precip event here, but that is now on into the northeast, wrapping up there. And overall, relatively quiet pattern from precipitation pattern here coming up, with the exception of that little clipper system across the northern areas tomorrow.
What do you see in the growing regions of the southern hemisphere?
Well, across Brazil and Argentina, we're monitoring the soil moisture conditions across Argentina, where there continues to be some dry pockets scattered around. Still not any kind of critical issue at this stage of the game, but they'd like to see a widespread rain event to help bring some relief to those dry pockets. And looking ahead over the next 2 weeks, it doesn't look like much on the way outside of a few minor systems that could improve conditions slightly. But the bottom line is, as we go into the middle portion of December, we're going to continue to have some scattered dry pockets around Argentina. Brazil, though, is in very good shape. The southern areas actually have been on the dry side the past couple of weeks, but that's going to come to an end here over the next several days as a widespread rain event moves into that region. So that'll keep Brazil, as planting wraps up, in very good shape.
We appreciate you being with us for the day.
My pleasure, Todd.
Thank you. That's Mark Russo. He's with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon, and that is today's CMR. Thanks to Dan Zwicker for filling in this afternoon and for making a quick phone call to us. We appreciate that. Remember tomorrow that the Democrat presidential candidates will be in Des Moines, Iowa. We'll carry their debate live here from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock tomorrow. If you want, you can listen to the Closing Mark Report at 2 o'clock. Not on the air, but on your computer. Just visit the Ag webpage, and you'll listen to the live stream of the radio station. That happens tomorrow during the 2 o'clock hour, and then at 3 o'clock, we'll actually record what happened for the Ag programming at 2, and run that at 3:06 tomorrow afternoon. Thanks much. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.